Welcome again to Cottage Talk. This is Cottage Talk full time. Our initial reaction to Fulham's 4-2 dramatic victory against Brighton Hove Albion at Craven Cottage. Emilio's here with me right now. Emilio, it's been about an hour and a half since the match ended. Just give me your opening thoughts on what you watched at Craven Cottage. That was pretty amazing.
Well, blimey, that was amazing. You know, who doesn't want to be a Fulham fan? You know, they make us sweat, they make us go through many bad times, but it's watching sublime heroic performances like the second half. Just, you know, it was freezing cold out there, it was sleeting on the pitch, but it was a game of two halves. That game could have finished 7-7 on another day.
You know, it's, I agree with that.
You know, Brighton was so dominant first half. We were so poor that they could have been easily 4-0 up. You know, Glenn Murray's two great goals and one flick just off, you know, another ball that hit the bar. Rico made a save and Glenn Murray flicked it just wide. That could have been 5-0. Yet second half, we could have scored 7 or 8. So, it's, but I'm not going to get carried away. I'm over the optimist, as you know, Russ.
But, sure.
You know, I'll take those 3 points. That turnaround will hopefully give us a boost to go to Crystal Palace on Saturday and pick up at least a point, if not more. And, you know, this, you know, it's not over yet. It's not over till it's over. You know, I don't think many fans have given up this season, but it's, I still believe in this club. I still believe we've got enough quality there to at least make a fight of it. And we saw that in the second half. We saw us fighting to the death.
Absolutely.
And players.
Completely different team in the second half.
We were a different team. And admittedly, I've not seen Brighton perform that badly, you know, for many months, to be honest. I've got a friend of mine who's a very strong Brighton supporter. He said that's the worst 45 minutes he's ever seen in the Premier League by his team. So again, that's thanks to Fulham that we upped the tempo,
Yep. Flick
passing, crisp passing. And, you know, to be honest, we were outstanding second half. So
absolutely.
We did well against Tottenham, but didn't take our chances. But today, we took our chances. And that's what it's a fine line, this game. It's a fine line. You know, one good performance, massive confidence, and who knows what comes next. We've got a winnable game away to Crystal Palace on Saturday. So we could still be fighting on, is my point. The dream may not be over yet.
Okay, excellent, Emilio. Listen, that was a horrible first half. And to see a completely different type of match in the second half was refreshing. But I'm going to ask you, when did you know that this match was changing? What was the turning point for you? There are several points we can look at. You know, you could talk about the substitutions, the change of shape, the goals. For you, what changed the tide for Fulham?
Obviously, that early goal from Chambers, that gave us belief. There was still a good 43 minutes still to fight. So we definitely felt there was an opportunity to get an equaliser with most of the second half still available. We just pushed up 10 yards second half within the first few minutes. But we were more direct. We were passing the ball at times much more crisp, slicker. Tom Kenny and Seri linked up very, very well.
Yep.
Yeah. It was the body language. There's a different persona. Obviously, they've had to kick up the backside, get yourself into some sort of shape, and be more positive. And we showed that in the first 2 or 3 minutes. Mitrovic, knocked himself about the whole of that second half. He bullied them right from the right word. We did bully them, and he had a hand in every goal. And you know, targeting Mitrovic at every possible moment was the difference. We kept looking for him. He kept bullying them. He kept winning the balls. He scored 2 goals. He was involved in the other two. He was a master act in that second half. But the turning point for me is obviously we scored a goal very quickly. I believe that we could go on and get another, if not more. And Brighton just completely catapulted. It just fell apart.
Well, Emilio, you brought up something very interesting because you talked about the intent from the get-go in the second half. And I mentioned to you off-air that the announcers were talking about that they wanted to see the fullbacks push up more forward in the second half. And that's exactly what you saw. And that made a huge difference.
Exactly. And, you know, admittedly, you know, Christie at times kept going forward. His passing again, letting him down, but he was making himself available, as was Brian. But it's that interchange of passing midfield. It felt like we were playing under Slabber again in the Championship. Seri, Chambers, Kearney, nice triangle passing. The fact that we had nearly 65-70% possession throughout the game, that tells you a very, very dramatic story.
Yep.
When's the last time under Ranieri we've dominated a game with 67% possession? Unheard of. So what was clear to me is Brighton sat back. We did second half what Brighton did to us first half. We took the game at them. We pushed them up their field. They had to sit more deep. And, you know, they couldn't cope with our quick interchange of passing. That was the difference. And we punished them with all those opportunities. But like I said, on another day, we could have scored another 3 or 4 in that second half. Incredible, incredible performance. But let's not get carried away. It's only one win.
It's only one win.
Take that confidence into the next game.
I agree with you, my friend. Listen, I think a key moment, I asked you what the turning point, but I have to go to this moment because this could be the moment of the season if you really look at it. It's 2-2. And Glenn Murray, who was basically just owning Fulham, every time he touched the ball, I was nervous. And obviously he scored two goals and had a chance to get a hat trick or even more than that, Emilio. 72nd minute, Sergio Rico makes the save that I think changed the match one more time. Because if he doesn't make that save, I don't know what happens. I know Fulham scored two more goals right after that. But I think the play of Sergio Rico, he came up big, my friend, in this match.
Absolutely. That's a massive turning point. And that proves to me why he's undoubtedly our number one keeper. You know, that was a great, outstanding save from Murray. But even in the first half, when Brighton were 2-0, he made another crucial save. That could have been a 3-0. We could have been 3-0 down in that first half if it wasn't for save. So Rico made two crucial saves, one to keep the score at 2-0 and one to keep us at the 2-2. So, but that was a top save, top draw save. And, you know, and again, proves my point. Rico is by far the best keeper. And, he deserved a pat on the back for that crucial save. And, you know, that kept us believing. We kept moving the ball so quickly. So it was just the interchange of passing was a delight to watch. First time we've seen it under Claudio.
One other thing that I want to mention that, again, I think he needs to do more of this. When Tom Kearney was on and Tom Kearney had some opportunities, and I know Ranieri has mentioned this, that he wants Kearney to shoot more, especially from, say, the right-hand side. He actually, again, hits the crossbar twice, Emilio, and maybe should have scored. And I liked what I saw from Kearney taking some shots. He needs to do that more often.
Absolutely. There was that moment when he went to – it felt like a repeat of the Leeds goal a couple seasons ago.
Exactly.
In injury time. He made
space. That's a great point.
Quick,
yes.
And he looked up. And we knew what he was up to. He was right in front of me. I said, this has got Leeds United all over. But he hit the crossbar, and then we scored from the resulting the ball over to Mitrovic. But basically – Tom Kearney wanted the ball. I could see his hand movement all the time. In other games, I've seen him a little bit shy to get the ball. He was away from the action. But today, he wanted it. As soon as, first half, he was, let's be very clear, Tom Kearney didn't have the best 20 minutes in that first half. He looked a little bit lightweight, a little bit lost, and a little bit out of position. The second half, he wanted the ball more. He was always saying, give it to me, pass the ball to me. And I saw determination in Tom Kearney saying, look, I've got my moment, I've got my chance here. I'm going to grab this chance and to prove to the manager why I should be playing week in, week out. So that was a great confidence booster for Tom. He needed that. He needed that confidence booster because he's been down in the dumps in recent weeks. And he felt there was a lot more determination and passion there. You could see it. Proud to wear that shirt again and proud to play for the club. So good to see. It's good to see. And who's to say Sarri and Kearney can't play together? That second half proves to me that them two can play together.
Well, what was funny, again, going back to the announcers, they said that the 11 that were out there in the second half, that should be the 11 for Fulham, because of just how well they played. Of course, then you have Sessegnon coming on for Brian, who went down, and there was a substitution there. But beyond the substitution, the team that was out there actually played very well in the second half, especially. Go ahead, Emilio.
As I was saying, again, there's a lot of criticism of Ream being substituted. I actually thought it was the right choice. That was my automatic choice because Brian is always an option to, he's got good width, when he comes forward, he pushes up, and obviously his cross created one of the goals. If we took Brian or Christie off, I think we would have been maybe a little bit more flat-footed and they had less attacking options in that second half. So you could argue Ranieri taking off Ream and being determined to put Kenny on there maybe was the right move. That could have been a turning point, despite the fact we're 2-0 down. Because
there are so many of these moments, Emilio. Yes.
Yeah. You could have easily taken off the two fullbacks who were not having particularly good games. But tactically, Ream would have been a better option because Tim Ream could only play in one position. And, that would have been the most ideal substitution for me. I applauded Ranieri for doing that and being brave. And even though Tom Kenny didn't really make much of an impact in that 20 minutes when he came on in the first half.
That was a very interesting substitution. In the end, it worked out. And I want to ask you about another substitution. What did you make of bringing on Luciano Vietto at the beginning of the second half?
It was an interesting substitution. I actually thought someone who's lightweight, played in, you know, a much warmer warmer country, coming to play on a freezing cold Tuesday night at home to Brighton, and maybe wouldn't have been the perfect conditions for him. But he looked lively.
He looked quick. He totally did.
Looking very determined, had a bit more aggression on him, you know, fighting for those balls and winning throw-ins and chasing the balls down and winning those balls. We've not seen that from Liu Chinoveso since the game against Burnley, which ironically we also won 4-2. But that's probably his best. I think that's his best game for Fulham, even though he played only 45 minutes, because, you know, on another day he could have scored a second goal.
Absolutely.
So that it gives Ranieri options. That's the key thing. Ranieri's got options now, lost food for thought. Because
Absolutely.
People have put themselves in a mix, you know. I thought Babel had made a nuisance of himself. You know, had, you know, the good long shot in the first half. Keeper made a good save. You know, got himself about an assist. So he's proven to be a reasonable, effective signing despite the fact he's only here for a few months. So some interesting times, and maybe this win may give the owners Tony Khan and so forth the belief now maybe there is the right time to invest in the type of players that they had in mind rather than giving up and building for the championship, because there's still hope. We've still got something to fight for.
Well, again, going into this, Emilio, I said they could not lose this match. They had to win it. Not even a draw. They needed to win this match, and they got all 3 points. And now, like you said, maybe this puts even more emphasis on the next couple of days to get something
done.
There's an opportunity now. You gave yourself an opportunity. Like you said, it's a baby step, because they
exactly.
still have a lot of work to be done. But this is a very good baby step. That's all I'm going to say.
And again, I think, you know, look at other players. You know, Seri, for me, was my man of the match. He was outstanding for 90 minutes.
He was.
Again, quick, crisp passing, slip passing. Very few balls he gave away today. Yes, disappointing with the free kick. But the fact you should have seen his reaction when it was 2-2 and he shot and hit the post.
I saw that.
His reaction showed me that's a player who's fighting tooth and nail to play for this club. He's not a player who's not here, just he's here to make up the numbers. He's here to keep the club in the division. You saw the passion. And when he went to take the corner, he was urging the fans to keep shouting, keep chanting, and patting his chest in the Fulham badge. So you saw Seri playing his best game for many months with the passion and determination that he wants to wear that shirt. So that's something, you know, that needs to, you know, I want to call that out, because I thought he had an outstanding game. Man of the match, yes, Mitrovic was involved in all four goals in some shape or form. But, you know, I thought Seri for 90 minutes.
Oh, he was great.
Playing on the pitch. Not Mitrovic for 45 minutes. Seri's 90 minutes. He was outstanding tonight.
He was. And I'm glad that you are singling him out. But again, that's what's great about doing this, is that this is an initial reaction and you're just letting it all hang out, my friend. You're talking about all
Absolutely,
key moments.
Yeah,
and what you're seeing, players that stood out. A couple other things before we go that I want to mention. And I mentioned to you off air when you do get a chance to look at it, and everyone gets a chance to look at it. If you were at the match, go look at the situation with Dale Stevens, who got a yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
He should have gotten a red card, Emilio. It was pretty horrible to watch.
Yeah, and Mike, our co-host on the College Talk, Joe Tybee, I said to him that before the game started, I said, let's get at Dale Stevens. I follow a lot of Brighton and Hove Albion Football Club. You know, they've got quite good affinity towards them, and I know how rash he can be at times, and that to me looked worse, you know, from where I sat than the yellow card warranted. But he should have. I'd like to see the replay again. But if you're saying it should have been a red card, that doesn't surprise me, because Dale Stevens is renowned for that. He can get those rash tackles in, and I'm disappointed when it was 2-0. We should have got him more to commit to making more fouls, because I know what he's like.
Yeah.
We'll make those fouls. We could have got Brighton down to 10 men if we just got at him a little bit more and got on the wrong side of him. But he had to curb himself second up, and that's why he wasn't effective. He was on that yellow card, and he knows another foul, he's off.
Okay,
Dale Stevens is a man. I know what he can do, and I know he's often getting red carded for those, you know, straight reds for stupid fouls and tackles.
Okay, excellent there, Emilio. One final thing that I want to go over with you, and it goes back to talking about Alexander Mitrovic. And again, I'm listening to the match. You're there. And on Mitro's second goal, the announcers talking about Lewis Dunk, who was complaining to Lee Probert about what Mitro was doing, you know, again, kind of on top of him a little bit. But you brought up a good point, because there are a couple ways to look at it. Could that call have gone against Fulham? Could there have been a free kick to go the other way? Potentially. But you said this to me. Mitro wanted it more than Dunk. So He deserved the goal, if you look at it that way. Wouldn't you agree? He wanted it.
Exactly. From where I stood, he had no right to go and win that. But he had the hunger and the aggression there. You know, the bullying point that we mentioned earlier. He wanted that. And he knew he had nothing in his mind other than, I'm going for that. I'm going to chase it down and get it. Because he wanted it more and he got the rewards for it. You know,
right.
It would have been harsh for that. Would have been ruled out, in my opinion. Yeah. Very, very harsh.
Okay, I just thought I would mention that because I guess it also shows just how much Mitrovic was up for the fight. And I just wanted to mention that because it was throughout the entire match. He bullied Duncan Duffy. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, he had a hand in a lot of what Fulham did. So I'm glad that we're talking about an ending about Mitro. Final thoughts before we go, my friend.
You know, again, we've talked about turning point of the match, you know, the Rico save, I think, and also maybe, so, you know, even the first half when he made that important save when we were just 2-0 down, Robbie going 3-0 down. But, you know, I recall in our Great Escape season, you know, around early February, we came from a goal down to beat Aston Villa 2-1. That springboarded the team on and gave them the belief that the fight was not yet over. So if we can take this amazing victory into Crystal Palace away on Saturday and get a similar result, get a victory there, then it's not over. You know, I'm not giving up yet. And I've said it time and time again, you know, I'm one eye in the championship. There's another eye saying, well, actually, we still got a chance to stay in this division. So fans, get behind the team, keep believing, keep hoping. And, you know, this might spur the owners to invest in a couple of players in the next 2 days.
I hope they do, my friend.
And then, you know, we give us the best chance to succeed. But we shouldn't give up because we're still in it. We've still got a
absolutely chance. And what I'm leaving with is something that we've been talking about throughout Cottage Talk Full Time, and we're going to be doing a full post-match show, is the second half fight of Fulham Football Club. And if they can bring that forward to, say, Crystal Palace and who they play, they give that kind of aggression and play with that kind of fight, they're going to get points. And you know, like you said, if the owners invest a little bit in the club in the next 48 hours, who knows? It's not over yet. It could have been over tonight. I said if they lost this or got a draw, it was over because it was going to be too difficult. They needed to win, and they won. And that's the last impression I have on this full-time show is that they got all 3 points. They found a way. All right.
Exactly.
Emilio, thank you so much for joining me after this big match, but we have to wrap this up. For Emilio Donnell, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.